Okay, so just very quickly, the marriage seminar is a little bit confusing. I may have to change the title. It's been mutating as I sometimes God gives me something and I run with it sometimes. But it really isn't specifically to married people or people that want to get married, people that are dating. It is for the entire family. And this coming Friday, we're going to be talking about what it means that the man is the protector. The calling of protector that God has given man, and how that translates in his home with his wife, with his children, and what it actually means. And, you know, yeah, you're going to learn some things that are so incredibly powerful, people, which is going to explain why man derailed from the plan of God way back in the Garden of Eden with the Adamic race. Amen. So Friday is for everybody. If you want to be a good parent, if you're a single parent, if you are married, you need to hear this message. And let's say you are a single parent, you'll understand how a family should be functioning, because this covers the wife, the husband, certainly the husband, the wife, and the children, and the Lord in the house. Amen? And then I want to encourage the men, the criticalness of prayer. People, right now, whether you like him or not, you are having an effect. I'm just going to put it this way, men, in the prayers that are going forth. And the Lord told you last Sunday that he's already able to move in a very powerful way as you pray. The criticalness of prayer in this hour is everything. It's everything. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God will move when we pray. But it takes you humbling yourself. Nothing, and I'm saying this, remember, I'm going to be talking to you now as adults. Nothing is more important than you showing up for prayer, for the corporate prayer that God is receiving from the hand of his saints, of his men that are in authority in a way that nothing else is on this earth. Nothing is more powerful. You cannot, even if you have a full-time ministry and you're doing that, nothing is going to be more important in this hour that we're in than you showing up to pray. We're having good numbers, but not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. The whole church, the men, should be showing up to pray. That's an exhortation from the Lord. Men, I'm begging you to hear the Spirit of God that's calling you. Some people are still living their lives not like nothing's happening, like nothing's going on. Like, I've got lots of time to get it together with God. I can still pray. No, you don't. We are running out of time, people. Not even in the end of days or when the rapture is going to happen. But we are running out of time in affecting the things that are trying to overtake everybody. There's a reason Jesus said in Matthew 24 that he has to shorten the time because of all the deception and everything that's going to be happening in the world. For the elect's sake, for us strong Christians, for the bride of Christ, he's going to have to shorten the time lest we also become a casualty. So please, I am asking you guys to understand that these nights of prayer is probably the greatest calling that any man can fulfill now in this hour. And then the last prophecy that God gave us turned out to be 100% accurate. He said, something major is coming, and then things after that. A week and a half later, Israel was bombed. Israel was attacked in a very horrific, massive way, which has started ripple effects all around the world. If you cannot see that God was absolutely warning us, heads up, this is what's coming, then you need to get born again. Amen? Because that was so God. Frankly, I'll be honest with you, I'm like you. When God gives me a prophecy, I trust God and I pray that it's him. And then I'm along for the ride like you are. And so for me, it was like, oh my God, Lord, a week and a half later and this happened. So It's very, very intense. What the Lord told me today is also a prophetic message. And what the Lord told me is I'm going to start unleashing my prophecies more frequently to guide my people, because not everyone is paying attention to the Lord. Not everyone has their eyes open and understands the times that we're living in. So he's going to help us people. But you must never, ever, ever deny prophecy in your life. You must not chalk it up to, well, maybe it's right. I would take whatever is given in this ministry, because you know us by now. We are not trying to make a name for ourselves. You don't even see Bill and Eva Snyder anywhere. It's all about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And all we've ever done is sought to hear his voice and to follow him and to lead his people in the right direction. Amen. So let me read this scripture to you, just in case you're struggling with, oh, prophecy, I'm not sure about that. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And Pastor and I have a prophetic anointing on us. We hear from God. It's very accurate. I mean, so far, it's proven out to be very, very powerfully accurate. So I'm going to ask you, please, to listen this morning and let it sift through you. And let God speak to you. Amen. Here we go. Swords prophetic message. This is the second prophecy that God sends to us in regards to the end of days. Amen. So this is what he told me. This isn't a fair fight if it's fought in the natural. In the end, you really are warring against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness. It's not against flesh and blood. So stop looking and blaming people and things that you see. Understand that all of this is being orchestrated by your enemy. Stop him at every turn. Now, we're not going to be able to stop what's happening in the world. Because remember last time I told you, it is written that these things are going to happen. And once God says it is written, it's going to happen. That's because we cannot control the world and the spirit of the world, which is the Antichrist. It's people that are rebellious against God. But we can stop the devil in our lives, in the lives of our babies, our children, in the lives of our future, in the lives of, you know, danger, certainly, lack of provision, lack of peace, those kinds of things. We can completely bind the devil off of us as God's people. Okay, so please make that distinction. Well, Pastor Eva, we keep binding up the devil. How is, you know, all of this going to come to pass? It will come to, it's coming to pass right before our eyes. But what we can do is affect completely how it's affecting us as God's people. Amen. Remember, we belong to a different kingdom. We are of a different kingdom. So let's continue with the prophecy. So level, oh here, it says, understand that all of this is being orchestrated by your enemy. Stop him at every turn. So level the playing field. Bring in all the weapons of warfare that I've given you. Call upon your angels. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will approach things with his mighty power and not your limited human power. And remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Your salvation from this hour of trial depends on you doing your part to overcome. Therefore, set yourself today, people, set yourself to overcome so I can save you. In other words, God, Jesus cannot just save us randomly. We have to set ourselves to overcome because we are in charge of our own outcome to a great degree. If God can find a loophole, if he can find an opening to get in there to help you, he always will. But for the most part, you're directing the direction of your life. So therefore, set yourself to overcome so I can save you. You must determine this first and make your stand so I can move for you. Now go. Run through the obstacles and threats in front of you. It is time that we are being called now into the whole race part of our walks with the Lord. This is go time for your race. Run through the obstacles, the hurdles, and threats in front of you. For I, the Lord, am with you, even to the ends of the earth. But know this, if you do not approach this day spiritually, you will lose. How do you know if you're approaching this spiritually? Is that you've entered into peace, rest, hope, confidence, even joy, no matter what we're seeing out there. If we're panicking, if we're afraid, if we're sad because the world's coming to an end and I don't get to have all this fun, if you're hanging on to the world, if you are being moved by what you see, if you are being threatened by what you see, you are not approaching this day spiritually. When we are spiritual, we're walking in the kingdom of God in a separate realm from this world, no matter what's going on. So make that distinction for yourself. Am I walking spiritually or am I in the natural? Because if you're in the natural, it's not going to be a fair fight for you. Somewhere in there, you're going to lose, as he says in a minute. So you've got to now approach this spiritually. And I'm going to show you right now through the weapons of warfare how you approach this spiritually so that even the new people in this church will know exactly how to do it. So, but know this, if you do not approach this day spiritually, you will lose. Your failure is most certainly guaranteed, and great destruction awaits. So remember your training, remember my word, and remember your God. Now go and show me what you're made of. Now go and show me what you're made of. This right here, this directive from the Holy Spirit is saying to you, each one of you, not to pastors who are there for you 100%. It's not coming through us and then we're going to help you and then you're just going to keep going. No, this is for you. Now go and show me what you're made of. Remember when I was fighting for my life? The last thing I wanted was to hear, go and show me what you're made of. I wanted God to help me. I wanted God to heal me. And all he told me during a whole year of horrific affliction and trials and symptoms, my life completely shipwrecked. What he told me back in 1983 is take it like a man. And God speaks to us with strength when we need to be strong. He feeds it into us. So he's saying to you now, remember your training, because whatever we've taught you people is in there. Trust it. Don't be afraid that, am I going to know what to do? You're going to be shocked at how much you know. This church has been well taught. This church has been, we have been great examples to you. I was talking to Tino and he's having all kinds of miracles happen. He said, I'm just copying you guys. We have been good examples to you guys. We had other mentors that taught us how to be. So we've taught you in your training how to attack, how to receive, how to believe, how to stay the course. So remember your training. It's in there. Remember my word. The average person has 8 Bibles in America. Get a Bible. Remember his word. And remember your God. Now go and show the Lord what you're made of. That's what we're going to have to do, people, before we leave this earth. We will all have to make a stand for God and behave as people of God and look like people of God in this hour. Amen? There's no free ride. We cannot carry. Even if you got born again today, we could not carry you any longer. We're winding things down. But we will be there always to help you. Kind of like a parent is when a little baby starts to learn to walk. And it's really precious. They're taking their little steps. And, you know, the parent's right there next to them, watching them, rejoicing, rooting them on. Come on, baby, come on, you can do this. In so many ways, that's Bill and I. Come on, you can do this. When people are in major trials, especially a fight for their life, that's what we do. We root you on. We walk it through with you. We will always do that. But you got to do the walking. You got to step out and start walking. Amen? Praise God. Prophecy breakdown. First thing is, this is Satan's hour. It is. It's a darkness that has covered the whole earth. He's using people to get his will done. Come against him. Bind him. Stop him. He's at the root of all the evil that is happening. He's the source of it all. Number two, in wisdom, level the playing field for yourself as you go into the battle. Amen? Number one is bring in all the weapons of warfare. We're going to cover those quickly, briefly. I'm basically going to explain the prophecy to you. And God led me to, and he said, there are people that have been in your church for many years that still don't know this, and they're going to have to learn it now. And then there are new people that don't know this, and rightfully so, they're new. So in wisdom, level the playing field. Number one, bring in all the weapons of warfare. Number two, call upon your angels. Number three, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, approach things with Holy Ghost power and not your limited human power. I personally, having been in the Lord for going on 46 years, I would never, ever, ever, ever go into any fight unless I am clothed with the armor. It's so automatic now that I don't have to think, okay, what goes on my head? Oh my God, what am I supposed to hold in my hand? No, I have done this so many times. Mostly for others, that I know how to put on the armor of God, and it's all just natural, amen? So, I never go into the arena of the battle by myself. Not ever. Not ever. God is always with me. I make sure that I am cognizant of that, and I go down a few things that I know I'm going to need to win that warfare, amen? So approach things with Holy Ghost power and not your limited human power. That's why the men are being called to prayer. These are holy nights. If you have to spend your last penny, men, getting a babysitter for your babies or whatever you need to do, if you're a single dad or whatever, do whatever it takes. Pastor and I, people, there were times when we only had like $35 to buy groceries for the entire week. For every meal, $35 for the whole week. That was in the early, early days. And guess what? We had to go and do Bible studies all over Orange County. We ended up doing for 3 years, hundreds of Bible studies that we did because people kept booking us to come to their house and minister to their sphere of influence. And we would take sometimes $20 of our budget, people, for that night, even though we were going to go minister, we would take $20 from our budget to pay for a babysitter so we could go and minister to the people of God. And that's how you're going to have to look at it. Whatever it takes, get yourself over here on the nights of prayer. Ladies, we're coming up soon. We're going to sandwich in between the men so we can have more prayer going forth. But whatever it takes. No, you don't understand. We have kids. No, you don't understand. We're committed to Emma Tilda's party. She'll get hurt. Oh my God. Your family needs the blood of Jesus covering them. Amen. The last one. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Whenever I've had to face a real challenge, whenever I've had to endure a massive trial, I always quote this scripture to myself. Eva, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Praise God. Prophecy breakdown number 3. We must do our part to overcome by a sheer determination and stand so Christ can save us. Before Christ can save you now, especially in this hour, you have to set yourself to overcome. Because if you're in the corner sniveling and all oppressed and being overcome by everything that's happening, Jesus can't stay there 24/7 lifting you up and the next moment you're down. Lifting you up and the next moment you're down. No, he's here to call a very, very militant church. I'm going to do something that I never do, but I'm going to do this right now. This is why Christ needs us to get it together. The church is not a cruise ship where a handful of people serve everyone else who is relaxing. That's what people have looked at the church like. I'm going to go and relax. Oh, I need special praise and worship music. I need to go to a church where they really know how to praise God. I love it. It makes me feel so good. People, this is not a time to pamper or to relax. Look at what it says. No, the church is a battleship where it's all hands on deck and everyone serves the mission. That's what church should be. That is what Swords is and will become more and more as we go into more days. It says, no, the church is a battleship where it's all hands on deck and everyone serves the mission. That is so powerful to me. Okay. So, we are to go now, and the next thing is we are to go now and run through the obstacles and threats in front of us. Don't let anything stop us. Take it like a man. When things are falling out around you, you look at yourself, especially you men, and you say, you know what? The buck stops here. I will stand firm. I will not be moved. And especially if you have a wife and kids. You're going to be that man that's anchored and you're going to take it like a man. Ladies, we are no different. The last time I taught for the prophecy, I said something that might be a little confusing. I said, in the spirit realm, there's neither male nor female. And then I said, I don't see myself as a woman and I don't hide behind my skirts. Let me explain that. I am 1,000% a woman. I am 1,000% in my psyche and in my nature. I'm feminine. I'm a woman. But in the spirit realm, where I'm supposed to be moving and doing work for God and doing business for the Lord, I am not a woman. And you men, there are men that turn off women ministers. That's a very dangerous, foolish thing. Because lo and behold, that woman could save your life. Because in the spirit realm, God does not see a woman. He sees a spirit being. And he will deposit in any person that is listening to him, that is faithful, that is courageous enough to speak his words. He used a donkey to save Balaam's life. He made a donkey speak, people, to save someone's life. So if you want to compare me to a donkey, have at it. But I'm going to speak whatever God gives me. Amen. So number 5, if we do not approach this day spiritually, our failure is most certainly guaranteed and great destruction awaits us. You ought to start walking around now, not as a mere human, not as a mere person. I'm just a person. There's a little girl on TikTok and it's so cute. Both my kids have sent this to me and the mom is scolding her. She's a little toddler. And, you know, she's trying to scold her and teach her something. And the little girl looks at her and she goes, I'm just a baby. I'm just a baby. And she's tiny and she already knows that. Well, you're no longer a baby. You're no longer a sheep. This is the disciple hour. You are being called forth now to be an adult in the Lord, to be a disciple. Amen. So, number 6, we must remember our training. Remember his word and remember our God. Number 7, we are to go now and show the Lord what we're made of. Oh, I love that, people. See, to me, that doesn't threaten me. That means God is saying, shine for me now. Come on, shine for me. Because I know that I'm in you. And I know what I can do if you just let me. You're going to be fine. You're going to do well. So let's go and show the Lord what we're made of. Hopefully, we are made of the Holy Spirit. Wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Amen? Number one, we must remember who God is. This is not a fight we can win without Him. You cannot win this fight, people, without God. Please make sure you understand that. Look at this picture. Focus on me and not the storm. Focus on the Lord. Let's stop looking so much at the storm. Now, I've been sending links to the men. I made a contact list for the men and swords so that you guys know what to pray for that are pretty checked out data that's coming out. But at the end of the day, all of us must focus on Him and not the storm. Amen. All of us. He is the Lord of the storm. He is the Savior. He is our helper. He will never cast us aside. Did you know that? He promised in the Gospel of John that anyone that turns to Him, He will in no wise cast out. He will not cast you away. People, you could be coming out of sin and go to the Lord and He will receive you. He will never cast you out. Amen? He is mighty. He is almighty. He is God and our God reigns. What does it mean that our God reigns? We sing songs about it all the time. There's psalms everywhere, phrases like this, our God reigns. What does that mean? That means that He is the King. That means that everything bows to His sovereignty. That means that His authority is completely over everything. And that means that He will have the last word. That means that He will never fail. Amen? Glory to God, people. This is a good message. The names of God in the Old Testament. El Shaddai means Lord God Almighty. Look at who you're dealing with, people. El Elyon, the Most High God. There are other gods that people call gods. You know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so I'm going to skip the names of that. But at the end of the day, He is the Most High God. There's nobody higher than God. Nobody, not anyone, not anything. Adonai, the Lord Master. Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And that banner is victory. That's the banner that flies over you because the Lord is in you. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. That means you are not without protection. That means you are always being guided by Him. He's right there to protect and make sure He leads you by the still waters. He brings you to the green pastures to repose and eat. And He anoints your head with oil. All of that, people. Amen. And then Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. There's nowhere that God isn't, people. He's even in hell. He can see. He takes people down there all the time so that they come back up and be able to warn the people of how real hell is. Amen. He's everywhere. Everywhere. God only knows how much He goes through the galaxies looking at everything. And, you know, it's amazing. He's everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. You don't have to go looking for Him. I have people sometimes tell me, and it breaks my heart, people. It's so erroneous doctrinally. They'll say, I don't feel the Lord. I feel like He's gone. That's because you don't know the fact that He's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He never can leave you now. He's now a part of you. He's interwoven Himself into you. And then Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That means that you don't have to look at your little sorry self and say, I'm not worthy. I can't pray. God can't answer me. Listen, you've been given the righteousness of God. That means moral rectitude. That means that you are in right standing with God. That means that inside of you, You have been purged of evil and the dead spirit. It means so many things. You have right standing with God now in that righteousness. Amen. Jehovah Mekodeshkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. He's helping you get ready, people. He is in there doing the work to make you completely holy and ready for him, for the rapture. And then Elo Alam, the everlasting God. There's no beginning and no end to God. That's what makes him God. He will never stop existing. He's not going to get old. He doesn't need to make sure he lives in the blue zones of longevity. And he doesn't have to eat all properly so that he can live a long time. He doesn't want to lose his life. That'll never happen to God because he is nothing but massive, massive energy and power and light. Amen. And then Elohim, God. He's just God. Elohim is God. And then Kwana, which means God is jealous. And he is jealous for us people. He does not want to lose not one of us. He is a very, very beautiful pursuer. He wins us. He woos us. That is God. But he does get jealous when we have other gods in our lives. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Oh, there's going to be famines in the world for sure. There's going to be shortages of food for sure. There's going to be shortages of water, shortages of everything. Now, did you know that many cars, if you want to buy a car, you have to wait a whole year because they're not making the parts. And right now, because of everything that's happening in China, that it's like an embargo and we're having issues getting stuff here to America now. But he's the provider. Amen? He's the provider. Now, he's not going to rain down diamond rings, ladies, to us because, oh, God's going to provide. And I really want that. No, he's going to provide food, water, shelter, his comfort. He's going to provide his presence. Those are the things that God is providing. Amen? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness. Amen? And Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. When you look up the word shalom, it means so many things, people. And right off the bat, you need to know that it means great health, good health. And we've been given his shalom. We have, and in Isaiah 55:10, it says that he will never remove the covenant of peace that is made with us. Amen. And that peace, when you look it up, is shalom. So we have great health. We have peace. We have well-being. We have all these amazing things, provision, prosperity, all of these things in Christ. And then the last one of this, there's like hundreds of names for God, but Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And, you know, in Psalms, it does say that the angels hearken to the voice of the Lord to heed his call. And God will command his angels to go and protect you, to keep you safe, to bring you provision. Sometimes angels bring healing. They do all kinds of miraculous things all the time. And God is the Lord of those angels. So he's making sure that they are working for you. You'll see in a minute what I mean. Then I heard, he forever reigns. God forever reigns. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah for our God Almighty. The word Almighty means omnipotent. What does omnipotent mean? The all-ruling God as absolute and universal sovereign, Almighty, omnipotent. That's who God is. And then, hallelujah for our Lord, our Lord God Almighty reigns. And what it means to be reigning, it's rules, and he is the king. There is no other king. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they are one, and he is the king. Amen. So that is a beautiful depiction of him being the one that reigns. The Lord is the strength. We're talking about what God is in our lives in this hour. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. And again, people, We're going to know what we're really made of if we start crumbling when things get really bad. And things are going to get really bad in the world. We're going to be in the atmosphere of the world. We haven't been raptured yet. But the Lord is our strength. Amen? And what are we going to be afraid of? You hear something, you know, really horrific is about to happen. Lord, you are our strength. I'm not going to fear man. You are my strength right now. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Look at what God is. Please take a picture of this. Oh, if anything, this right here will get you through. Did you know, people, that in 1983, I survived everything that I went through with one scripture? And I didn't know it was a scripture. One day in prayer, about 3 months into that horrific trial, I heard, "Do not fear, for I am with you." That's what I heard. I didn't know later on, like in the almost at the end of the trial, I found Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand." Amen. God is right here with us, people. So this one scripture right here, these two actually, will get you through anything. Glory to God. Then you, Isaiah 58:9, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here am I." Isn't that beautiful, people? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. Call on him, he'll answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." So look to the Lord for strength, Isaiah 40:31. Look to him. "I don't know if I can do this, Pastor Eva. I don't know if I can go through all this horrible time. I'm so afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. And I have all these children. And, you know, we're running out of money and all of this." Look to the Lord for strength. Amen. Look to him for strength. Number two. So we just remembered who, just a drop in the galaxies of who God is. To remember how we go into the battle. And then number two, remember your weapons. Put on the full armor of God. Now, we're going to be reading right now. Well, let's go through this. Number one, it's the belt of truth. Number two, it's the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, it's the shoes of peace. Number four, it's the shield of faith. Number five, it's the helmet of salvation. And number three, the sword of the Spirit. You don't ever want to go into the battlefield without any of these. Because whatever you are lacking right now, let's say you forget to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That part of you is going to be exposed. And each one of these part of the armor are critical to being completely protected when you go into warfare. Amen? So you want every part of your armament on you. Ephesians 6:10, and we're about to take it apart. Again, it's not a full teaching. We're just going to go through every part of the armor so you can remind yourself and remember. The armor of God, Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." See how the prophecy confirmed that? We are to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, not our might. Because why? It's not a fair fight. There's no way you're going to defeat the landslide, the tsunami that's like 300 feet in the air, and you're just standing by yourself in the little shore. You're not going to be able to overcome that unless you're in the Lord. Amen. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then put on the whole armor of God. Now, this is so important. I need you to please pay attention. Please focus in on what I'm about to say. It never had clicked. I've read this scripture, I don't know how many countless times. I had never seen this until I was studying yesterday. And the Lord told me this. I'm sorry about that. the air is blowing really dry, and Pastor and I are dealing with the throat. So back to this. Put on the whole armor of God. First of all, it's got to be the whole armor. You can't forget yourself. Imagine the helmet of salvation. That leaves your head completely exposed to the enemy. Imagine if we have a soldier. He's been trained. He's been taught. He knows every part of his everything from head to toe. What need every part of that uniform that he's wearing fulfills the purpose for each part of it. And he forgets. I mean, he can take his rifle apart in the dark, which is part of what they learn to do in case they're out in the, you know, in some kind of war and they don't have access to light. They can do it in the dark. Automatically, they can assemble a gun or a rifle. But what if he leaves his rifle behind? Or what if he leaves his shirt that's got all these loops and little wheels for you to anchor different things? Like he's literally walking around almost like a Christmas tree. He's got all these things attached to his uniform. What if he forgets the top part of, I mean, like his shirt completely and goes out there in his t-shirt and no gun? That's why you must get familiar with the whole armor. What does it do? Why do I need every part of it? So number one, you must use the whole armor of God. Men, when you come to pray here at our home, when you're walking through those doors, you make sure you've got your armor on. After today, I hope to have time to explain it. You make sure you have the whole armor of God so that when you go into battle, you're going to be able to battle 100% and win. So here's the real revelation. Put on the whole armor of God. I had never really seen this, people. Generically, I knew it, but God opened up my eyes and he said, Eva, this is my armor. Our God is a warring God, people. He leads those with young gently, but at the same time, he is a warring God. He will stand up to his enemies. He will repay them to their face. And he literally, the Holy Spirit spoke up. And when I said the whole armor of God, it's got to be the whole armor. And he goes, no. He goes, understand, it's the whole armor of God. This is what God has on him every second of his existence. Because that's why he wins every battle. He is prepared. This is an armor of God. This is how he stands as the warrior. And he has given us this armor. You know, God is not cheap. He is so generous. He has given us everything that he has. Everything. Authority, power, rulership. He has given us love. He has given us everything, people, including his armor. When you take the time to respect the battle and not shrivel under it or not say, oh, it's nothing. I'm just going to keep going. Oh, it'll deal with itself. When you are respectful and you put on the armor, understand that there's no distinction between how you look in the spirit with all your armor, then God does. You stand in his anointing, in his power. The Holy Spirit is in you. There is nothing that God has cheated you. He didn't say, you know what? I'm going to keep the armor back to myself because this way they'll always need me. He has given us everything. When you are dressed for the battlefield, you putting on the armor is the armor of God, people. I hope you're understanding this. God wears the same armor. In his, it's not something conscious to him. This is how he operates. As we take it apart, you'll see God in the way he functions. I thought this was brilliant. Lord, thank you so much. He's guaranteed the victory to us. And honestly, when you go into the prayer room, the battlefield, the devil doesn't know because you're wearing God's armor. He will bow and he will leave, especially when you function in your God-given authority. So put on the whole armor of God, that you out there, every one of you, that you may be able to stand. That means abide, continue against the wiles, the trickery of the devil, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, that means to stand against and oppose. No, Satan, you will not bring World War III into my home. God will protect us divinely. Some way, somehow, God's going to hover over us and we will survive. Because remember, people, Matthew 24, he who endures till the end shall be saved. We have to endure till the end. You can't say, you know, well, if the bomb falls, you know, nuclear bomb, then, you know, I'll be able to get wiped out right away and I'll just go to heaven. That's totally quitting. That's not what God wants for you. He wants to see what you're made of. He wants to see if you really are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. He wants to see if you're a man of God. Ladies, that includes us. We are men of God. He wants to see the sons of God rise up, because remember, all of creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. This world is depending on us to pray and to stand into our authority, amen? So that you may be able to withstand, stand against, stop the devil, oppose him in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore. I mean, how many times is he going to say stand? You can't crumble. You can't go to the corner and fall apart. You can't be in denial. I'm going to say this because I love you. But about half the church is still in denial of what's happening. Half the church doesn't want to hear it. Half the church is like, nah, I've heard enough. It's okay. You can skip me. I'm good. Half the church, half of swords, is in denial. I'm not saying you have to know every little thing. You'll go crazy. You will go crazy. I did that one day. One day, it was my off day, and I was on all these applications trying to keep up with what was happening. I almost went insane. It's too much. It's too much. You can know generally what's going to happen, and it's good to know, especially for your family. So, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, girded. Ladies, you're going to relate to this. Don't get offended, but women wear girdles. Not all the time, but sometimes we do. Especially after a certain age. And especially after having your babies, men. So, gird your waist, that's a girdle. What does a girdle do? It keeps everything tight and in place. If you want to be kept in place and nice and tight in your person, then having girded your waist with truth, you must learn to love truth. You must learn to have an ear for truth. There are so many things being taught right now in the body of Christ. A lot of it is right and accurate. Thank you, Jesus. But some of it is not. Oh my gosh, so many erroneous doctrines and things that are going to be happening in the end of days, that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and it's not accurate, people. So you must hold yourself tight and in place, nice and strong and firm. A girdle makes you stand up straight so that you can be strong and held together. That's support. And truth does that. If you don't know truth, you're going to be weak. I told you last time that I taught on that first prophecy. The only thing, the only way to survive what's coming is through a strong mind. You know what makes a strong mind? God. And you know why it's God? Because he has all truth. The word of God says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's in John. And so we have to love the truth. You have to learn to hate deception. When you first start off in the things of God, you're so in love with every minister. Oh my God, I listened to this one. And oh my God, I listened to this one. You better make sure that people are teaching you truth, because that's what's going to be in you. And the more truth you have from God and his word, the purer your being is. You're not polluted. You're not deluded. You are not compromised. So truth is critical to you. And the only way that you'll ever know if Bill and I, if Pastor and I are teaching you the truth, is by you getting in the Word and getting an understanding, an intuitive connection to the Word. So you will say, that's truth. What they just said is truth. So what is truth? That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. In Strong's, it just said verity for truth. But I got this dictionary definition so that you can understand it just a little bit. That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Actually, it wasn't the dictionary. I got it from another program that defines words in the Bible. So whatever is true and in accordance with fact or reality. In other words, whatever you believe, you better be able to prove, and it must work. Because truth works. Like for instance, the truth is, whether you believe it or not, is that God heals. That's the truth. And if it's the truth, it's going to work. And people get healed all the time. All the time. Amen? So, gird yourself. Put on the girdle to, especially after the pandemic, we could all use a little support in our midsection. Put on the girdle, the waistband, around your waist. But it has to be the truth. The truth must support you and hold you together. And then, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate goes where? It covers all the main organs, but specifically the heart. These are areas, people, that God is having you protect, because these are areas that the devil attacks to bring anybody down. You could be the strongest Christian right now on the planet, that knows the Bible inside out, that lives totally godly and perfectly before God. But if you go into the prayer room, which we call the war room, and you do not have the breastplate of righteousness, you're completely exposed to the enemy coming and attacking you, especially in your heart. And I believe with all my heart that in the heart is where real courage and faith are born. Faith, I know for a fact, only comes from the heart. But courage, these powerful, viable spiritual forces that God has given us, like peace, comes from the heart, not from the mind. You can't be strong, you know, in the sense of, I'm going to get the victory, oh, I'm very strong in my mind. No, it's a force that comes out of your spirit. So if you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, then the devil's going to attack your heart and bring you down with discouragement, with fear, and all kinds of things. So what is righteousness? It's Christian justification. That means that God has justified you. In the old days, they used to say that to be justified means just as if I'd never sinned. When God gets done with a new birth and you are now a new creation, and as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, now all things are of God, from wall to wall you are now all God, then understand, people, that God did a perfect work, a complete work, to change you from an evil sinner, a rebellious little nation of your own, an enemy of God, a lustful, we all carried the lust and perversions and weaknesses and covetousness, all of that. When God finished cleaning us up, people, we were brand spanking new, like an innocent infant who hasn't even spoken one word, who's just beautiful and precious and clean. That's how God left you. Now, you don't stay that way unless you work at it. Even your spirit can keep getting defiled. You know, it depends on what you're attending to, if you're in vile sin all the time and all those things. So, the breastplate of righteousness defends your heart. Why? Because you stand there. The devil will tell you, oh, you can't pray right now. There's no way you're going to pray right now and God's going to hear you. I know that you just got in a fight with your wife 5 seconds ago. You were angry with her and now you're in here trying to pray. And because you have the breastplate of righteousness, you are remembering and you gird it with the truth. You remember the truth of your salvation. You remember the breastplate of righteousness that I have been made righteous in God. I now have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the word tells us. So you have the righteousness of God. You are in right standing with God every second of your life that you choose to believe in that righteousness. And you look at that old devil in the face and you say, devil, get behind me, you foul thing, in Jesus' name. I can pray right now. Father, I do repent for that strife. I receive my forgiveness. And Satan, I am the righteousness of God. Not you, not anybody can take that away from me. Not even God. He's already given it to me. God won't take it away. He needs you to be righteous. He needs you because that righteousness makes us be in right standing with him. So he can be our father, so he can move in our lives. Amen. So the breastplate of righteousness, which is Christian justification. And then having shod, having put on shoes or sandals. Now we're talking about the feet. Having shod, put on shoes or sandals, your feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, this is very important. Truth is important. Righteousness is important. Really, that's what we're talking about. These dynamic spiritual forces. Truth, righteousness, and now we're talking about the gospel of peace. People, when you put on your sandals protect your feet. Your shoes protect your feet. What are we being prepared with in the armor? We're being prepared. Our feet are being prepared. Are protected by the gospel of peace. That means that wherever we go, wherever our feet take us in life, we are to be walking in the gospel of peace. God is not angry with you. God is not rejecting you. There is no sin greater than the blood of Jesus. No, you don't understand, Pastor Eva. I mean, I'm just going to say this and you're not going to believe it. But I'm going to say it anyway. You could be a serial killer that just, like the guy in Maine, poor guy. He had some very serious mental issues and they didn't catch it. He was a military man. And he killed something like 18 people and wounded several more. You could be that person. And after you've done what you've done, you have a genuine, convulsive repentance. Father, God, I lost it. I'm sorry, Father. Forgive me. If God can see your true repentance, your real pouring out of yourself before Him, He will forgive you. The gospel of peace means that God is at peace with us, that we serve the Prince of Peace, and that everywhere we go, we can find peace. And then the last one, above all, you know what? I'm just going to actually stop here. We've gone for an hour, and I'm going to have to finish this. You do not want to miss the second part of this.